We have a lot to discuss over the next hour. Coming up in the next 60 minutes, we're going to hear from Murnaby as they book their place in the All-Ireland Final. We're going to hear from Nemo as they book their place in the Munster Final. And we are going to hear from Father O'Neill. Nemo booked their place in the semi-final, I do beg your pardon. And Father O'Neill is booking their place in the Munster Final as well. So all that to come between now and 7 o'clock. So we're going to hear from Kilshannon after they were crowned Junior A football champions today. Going to hear from Paddy Murray as he confirmed he's going to stay on as Cork Camogie manager for a 9th season. Going to talk to Colin O'Brien as the under-17s prepare for 3 games at Turner's Cross this week. And we're going to have reaction from Cage Warriors. Fantastic event at Neptune Stadium last night. That's all to come between now and 7 o'clock on the Big Red Bench. We're here with you until 7pm this evening. We'll go to Anfield to get an update. If you're a Liverpool fan, you're going to be happy. Not so much if you're a Man City fan.
It's Liverpool 3, Manchester City 0, and since Liverpool scored that third goal, they're going in for the kill now, trying to get some more goals here at Anfield. Firmino nearly made it forward, a little lobbed curled effort from 18 yards out. At the other end, City trying to get back into the game with Raheem Sterling, who's booed every time he gets a ball from the home fans. His 18-yard shot deflected over by Lovren. This game still very much in the melting pot, although Liverpool, of course, with a 3-goal lead. It's Liverpool 3, Manchester City 0.
71 and a half minutes on the clock there at Anfield. Elsewhere today, Manchester United had a 3-1 win over Brighton. Peter Smith.
Manchester United 3, Brighton 1. United forged ahead when Andreas Pereira's shot deflected in off Dale Stevens. They doubled their tally in a goal-mouth scramble, with Brighton's David Proper being debited with an own goal and the Scott McTominay's challenge. Lewis Dunk half the deficit in the second half with a bullet header from a Pascal Gross corner. The Marcus Rashford put United back in full control with a 12-yard drive that went in off the underside of the crossbar. Manchester United 3, Brighton 1.
The Wolves beating Aston Villa today. Alex Winter was at Molineux.
Wolves 2, Aston Villa 1. Ruben Neves' thunderous first half strike gave Wolves reward for a dominant opening period, but it took until 6 minutes from time to put the game to bed as Raul Jimenez slid home after Adama Traore's strong run. Villa were lucky to be in the game for as long as they were and wasted several chances to level before Trezeguet scored a consolation deep into stoppage time. But it was more woe for Villa on their travels as it finished Wolves 2, Aston Villa 1.
And Aston Villa certainly in relegation trouble. Just 11 points in 12 games for them so far. In Scotland, and it's as you were at the top of the table, Celtic with a 2-0 win over Motherwell, Rangers with a 2-0 win away to Livingston. They're both leveling points on 31. Celtic top on goal difference by virtue of the fact they've scored one more goal than Stephen Gerrard's side. Elsewhere today, and in the Munster Senior League, they finished scores between Avondale and St Mary's. College Corinthians with a 2-0 win away to Cove Wanderers. Ian Mylott and Owen Murphy with the goals for Corinthians there. And Cork City Women's rounding off their So Hotels National League campaign today, as they held Wexford Utes to a 1-1 draw in Mayfield. Saoirse Noonan with City's goal in their final game of the season. As I mentioned in the intro, it was a really busy day of Gaelic games across the province and nationally as well. In the Senior Football Championship quarter-final, Limo Rangers beating Newcastle West 1-9 to 9 points in Mallow. They'll now face either Dr. Crokes or Austin Stacks in the semi-final in 2 weeks' time. In the Senior Hurling Championship semi-final, disappointment for Glen Rovers, who were beaten by Barcelona today in Semple Stadium. 1-17 to 3-8 was how it finished there. In the Munster Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-final, Father O'Neill's with a comfortable win over Broadford today, 3-22 to 14 points. The Cork champions will face Ballysagart in the Munster final in 2 weeks' time. In the Junior A Football Championship final, as I mentioned, Kilshannon crowned champions with a 22 points to 11 win over St James's. Kilshannon now go on to face Nigel of Kerry in the Munster quarter final next Saturday in Clonakilty. In ladies football, Murnaby back in the All-Ireland final. They've beaten Dunamoyne of Monaghan today, 2-13 to 1-10 was how it finished in Clyder Rovers. Murnaby will face Galway's Kilkerran Clonburn after their win over Foxrock Cabinteely in the other semi-final today. In the intermediate semi-final, disappointment for Inch Rovers, who were beaten by Naoimh Ciarán after extra time, 3-15 to 1-11. And in the junior semi-final, Dunamore beating Navan O'Mahony's 3-13 to 3-12. They will now face Mackay Rovers of Mayo in the final. In basketball, in the Women's Super League, victory for Ambassador UCC Glanmire 86-76 over the Wildcats today at the Mardike Arena. Singleton Super Valley Brunel going down to DCU Mercy on the road Mercy winning 79 points to 69. In rugby, and defeat for Ireland's women's side today against Wales in their November international at UCD, 15 points to 13 was how it finished. Ireland were winning 10-0, but three late tries from Wales helping them to secure a win. And England's Tyrrell Hatton has won the Turkish Open after he came through a six-man playoff. He was among those who finished tied at the top of the leaderboard on 20 under par. Shane Lowry and Padraig Harrington both finishing on one under par for the tournament. Right, we're going to start the show with a reaction from Moran Abbey, who are back in the All-Ireland final after that win over Dunamoyne of Monaghan today. Kilcare and Clonburn await in the final. Breed O'Sullivan, the captain, has been speaking to Dermot Sheehan.
You can't ask for much better than that. You know, I think if you had asked me at halftime, you know, I think we were very disappointed with our performance in the first half, so we were just so delighted to get over the line and that we have an All-Ireland final to look forward to in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it seemed to be a poor option taken really in the first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, like, we have outstanding forwards and they did put an awful lot of pressure on us in the forward line, but you know, I think that we just weren't taking our scores and getting a bit frustrated maybe. So, you know, I think that you know, we just didn't panic. We knew that we had the quality in the forward line, that we would be able to get the scores when it mattered. And, you know, fair play to the girls in the forward line. You know, I think we got about 10 or 11 points there in the second half. They're absolutely outstanding.
You found a lot of leaders in that game, really, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that, like, this team has an awful lot of experience and a lot of the girls have been on the road for a long time. But, you know, not only them, you know, the young girls came on there at the end, like Ellie Jack and Anna Ryan, you know, and Aisling Cronin. They're all young girls, you know, still at minor level, and they came on and they really stood up and they drove us over the line. And, you know, it's great to see that as well.
You have 2 weeks now and a big day again.
Yeah. You know, I suppose last year we had a different experience on All-Ireland final day, and we know what that winning feeling is like, and we know what it takes now to get over the line. So hopefully we can recover for a few days after this and start preparing in the way that we know how for the final.
Indeed, congratulations to Moran Abbey into the All-Ireland final once again as they look to defend their title. Going to hear now from their manager, Shane Ronayne.
Come here. I suppose a lot of relief. You know, we were coming into this in a home game today, or, you know, your favourites, you know, after last year and I suppose things like that. But, you know, we were very disappointed at halftime with the way we played. I suppose the only positive thing at halftime was we were only 3 points down, was we played so poorly. So we just asked them to look, just the first half was gone, you know, let that be. It's done now. We just go and start playing football properly in the second half and do stick to the game plan. And in fairness to them, they upped the ante, and I think the second half just played like 10 points to one in the second half was superb. And all over the field, looked, subs came on, made a big impact first. You know, players stood up and they were counted. I didn't think a lot of them stood up in the first half. They were a bit maybe playing at home, they were a bit nervous, things like that. But look, we're delighted to be in the All-Ireland final. We know that we've plenty of work to do, but look, that's the great way to be going into it. 13 days time, look, the bodies are going to be sore after today. We won't get much done in the next 2 weeks. It'll just be about recovering and making sure we're right. But look, I think today we found leaders there again in the second half. The girls, look, it's something that I did, that was never found wanting them, and it would have been a bit in the first half, which we would be a bit disappointed about. But look, the real Moran Abbeys came out there in the second half, I think.
Really, it was all about the options and the poor options taken in the first half, really, wasn't it?
Oh, exactly. Like, we 5 times we turned over the ball in contact inside in the scoring zone. Like, and that's something we spoke about for the last 2 weeks. That Dunamoyne are brilliant at defending that. We were the same 3 years ago above against Dunamoyne. We'd loads of the ball, but we took bad options, we took it into contact. And there's no better team in the country, I think, to punish you if you do take the ball into contact. And Thurman found that to their cost in the Ulster final. And it was looking like we were going to find it to our cost as well today. But in the second half, we took less ball into contact, moved it around a bit quicker, used the wings. And I think that, you know, that's where we got the holes there. And I suppose even the last point, second last point we kicked from play, you know, we were patient. And then we got down the middle with Catherine Coakley, came off and wing back to kick it. You know, probably was one of the points of the game because of the way it worked. But it was just poor option takers. Even the final pass from a lot of the girls just was off today, whereas it was on in the Munster final and it was just a bit off today. But look, we still got there.
Yeah, look, All-Ireland final again. Have to be really pleased.
Yeah, look, we're delighted. Like, look, that's the fifth All-Ireland final in 6 years. I suppose, look, the thing is, we won it last year. We know what we have to do to win it. You know, I think there's 5 points in the other game at the moment. Clonburn are winning. You know, so look, whoever wins that, they're going for their first All-Ireland title. They'll be in the same position we were in last year. You know, they have a lot of hurt from last year. Whoever comes through there, you know, so it's going to be a big occasion. And whoever we play, you know, we know we're going to have to be better than what we were today, especially in the first half. Our second half display was very good, but our first half we probably need a more complete performance. You know, probably if we can get 15 minutes out of them, we're going to be hard beaten. But look, that's going to be what we need to do the next day.
Yeah, Shane O'Neill there speaking to Dermot Sheehan. Congratulations to Moran Abbey as they book their place in the All Ireland final against Kilkerran and Clonburn of Galway in 2 weeks' time. Could be game on at Anfield. Shane Pennington.
It's Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1, and City get a goal back here courtesy of Bernardo Silva. It came from the left-hand side, and Angelino with the ball in, took a deflection off Dejan Lovren and fell nicely for Silva to fire into the back of the net from 18 yards out. It's Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1.
Yeah, 10 minutes to go there at Anfield. Right, Nemo Rangers getting their Munster campaign off to a winning start with a 1-9 to 9 points win over Newcastle West in Mallow today. Nemo led all the way through the game's first 4 points, 3 from New Connolly. The Limerick champions responded there when Ian Corbett made it 4 points to 3 on 21 minutes. By halftime, Nemo were 6-3 ahead. The second half, Kieran Dalton goal before Stephen Cronin put them 6 ahead. Again, Newcastle West came back at Nemo, but they couldn't get to within 2 points. Dennis Hurley there for us today, and Mallow spoke to boss Paula Donovan.
I suppose it was a difficult game. They defended in numbers, I felt, at times, and it made it very difficult. We didn't help ourselves then with some sloppy play, getting turned over and attacking a few times. Poor passing, you know. We very first minute there, James McDonald fisted one out over the sideline. I don't know where he was passing it to, but small things like that, we can improve. If we can get those things right, I think we can be probably 5 or 6 points a better team. We took poor choices in the first half against the slight breeze. We dropped 4 into the keeper's hands. Again, that's decision making by fellas who are normally fairly good and fairly accurate. We just have to get those small things right, I think, and it'll bring us on 10%, you know.
Yeah,
and the scoreboard as well as everywhere else. Yeah,
they battled right to the end, didn't they?
They did, look, and believe it or not, we expected. I thought the odds were absolutely ridiculous, 40-1, and we were in there, I think, 11-1. That's ridiculous. I mean, if you watch their game against, we saw footage of their game against Adair, and we saw footage of their game against Oula, and on both occasions, like, they love the tackle, they're well able to tackle, they have a lot of, I'd say, guys who are playing a bit of rugby as well, and if they get hold of you, like, you can't break away from the tackle because they're physically very strong. So we invited a bit of trouble on ourselves. We got turned over too many times. We need just to be, but we have to get that weight if we're going to advance any further.
Yeah, you get a classic goal 3 minutes into second half, and yeah. That should have kind of settled you, shouldn't it?
It should have, you'd imagine. It should have. We probably missed another one near the end there where Mark tried to square it across to Conor Horgan, I think it was. I felt Mark should have picked it up and gone himself. Yeah. You know, he's inside the penalty spot. You put the money on him to score every time, but look, at the end of the day, you trust them when they go onto the field that they're going to make the right decisions. You can only try and correct them afterwards. But what we have to learn as well is every time we go out and play, we need to look at ourselves and be critical of ourselves and try and develop and try and be better the next day, you know.
Yeah. You know, fears like that there's a trend developing, like about second half performances or anything like that?
No. I think if you look back earlier on the year against Barrs and against Douglas, there was no fear of us in the second half. Mistakes today. I mean, mistakes are going to happen no matter what you do.
Yeah.
It was just one of those days where it was tough conditions, a bit heavy. Breeze was picking up in the second half, and guys anxious to keep the ball, trying to take that extra bit out of it, and getting smothered in the tackle. You know.
And it's a natural inclination. Then, like when it comes down to 3 points near the end, and they're pushing for fellas to drop back.
It is, of course. It's the most natural thing in the world, and despite the fact that we're telling fellas to stay up the pitch, that you need an outlet. That's great when it works. I mean, you look back at any game, you look back at the game, I think it was it against Douglas, or there was 2 balls into the square near the end. Paul Kerrigan got the 2 of them and carried them out. But like today, we were looking at Paul in there and saying we went to the full forward line.
Yes.
So look, if they land into his hands, he's the right thing.
He's
a genius for thinking of it, but it doesn't, then you're giving out, you know. So.
And Barrett was still missed today. Will he be back for 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, he's hopefully get a bit of running into the legs now tomorrow. It's actually next Sunday is the next game. Hopefully he'll get a bit of running into the legs tonight and we'll make a decision then late in the week. It'll probably be Saturday before we make our minds up.
It's been great too to be able to give Kevin Bullard
some time. Yeah, great to have him back. He hasn't I suppose that's his first competitive outing bar the training games that we're having. That was his first competitive outing since February.
So he's been playing any great.
That's his first taste of championship this year. He's just unfortunate, the injury, and then guys are coming in. Jack Harden was playing well, Brian Murphy came in where you'd have expected Kevin to be commanding a position in the cornerback or a wing back. The fellas coming in, if they're playing well, we tend to leave them one onto the jersey, you know.
The Big Red Ben, Sean Quark, Red FM, and that is Nemo Rangers boss Kevin O'Donovan there speaking, or Paul O'Donovan, after their win today over Newcastle West in Mallow. Going here now from defender Kevin Fulignati.
First game since February, league game against Donovan Rassid down there. I broke Skafoy that day, so I was hoping to be recovered in about 3 or 4 months, but it didn't recover, so I had to go in for surgery.
Which hand?
Left hand. So still not fully recovered. I don't know really January, whether it's there or not, but I have a screw in there now anyway, so let's keep it together. Yeah.
See that?
I have another one in there.
Yeah, the two of them?
I've done the two of them, I never got surgery in that one, so nice to be back.
What happened to you?
I was just leading down for a game there in February in the league game against Skib, and while the weight was on and the hand got kicked from underneath me, but didn't know at the time anyway, played on, but found out afterwards in the x-ray that was broke, so long haul of a recovery. Yeah, I got surgery done. With a bone taken out of the hip and a screw into the hand to keep it together. So.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Frustrating?
Frustrating, yeah, but look, you just kind of put the head down, you work in the areas of the game where you think are weaker, you can run away and run 5 or 6 nights a week there, keeping fit, just to make sure that if I do get a chance to get back in, I'm ready to go, and I'm not waiting 5 or 6 weeks, so it's nice to get on the pitch there now today.
And the first time you got back in the pitch and the ball in the hand, like, is there a bit of trepidation?
It was different, all right, I think. Like, I thought I needed to kind of get up to the speed of things, but it was really just to try and slow it down. I think when I came back already for the first trainer session or two, I was thinking of the next thing or the next move that I was going to do when I got in the ball. But it's funny, when you kind of slow it down and you kind of find out, then you have a bit more time and things start coming back to you again, and the football starts coming back to you again, you know. So,
and like, when the team are going well and winning the county, like, it must be kind of bittersweet for you to be on the sideline, like, you know, not as involved as you'd like to be.
Well, look, I mean, if we're not going well, that means I won't get any run this year as well, so it's absolutely great for the lads to be doing well, and everyone out there is doing absolutely brilliant, so I'm happy and I'm delighted they're still in there to give me, you know, a chance of getting back, you know.
Yeah, and to come into a game like that there now, you know, when it's in the balance, I suppose it's great just to be back in the pitching championship.
Yeah, look, it's great to be coming back into a game like that there, as opposed to when you're up 10 points, because it kind of gives a message what management think of you. You know, they're throwing you into the fire, into the deep end, and there you go, and it's kind of, it's a bit of a confidence booster as well, being thrown in there, like, you know.
And a tougher game maybe than a lot of people might have expected, but Paul was saying to us there, like, that he had no kind of doubt as to how good Newcastle West were, and to the game, just, you know, this time here it's all about winning, right?
Yeah, we definitely weren't taking anything for granted. We were down here in 2015 against Clanmill, and it was the same thing, everybody was kind of saying, you know, overwhelming favourites. But we knew like how they were going to set up today. We watched some of the videos, they're a good physical team, and when they move the ball, then they move it quick, and there's some very good players around the pitch, so we weren't coming here complacent at all. We knew exactly what we were going to get, and we got it, and we're just very happy to get out alive.
Yes, Nemo's Kevin Fulignati there. It's his first game since suffering a finger injury in February. Didn't sound all that nice, as you heard from Kevin at the start of it there, the surgeries he had to undergo to get back to full fitness. But he was back today as Nemo Rangers defeated Newcastle West 1-9-9, and they will now face either Austin Stacks or Dr. Crokes of Kerry in the semi-final. That'll be in Porkyrin next Sunday with a 1:30 throw-in time. Alright, coming up to full time at Anfield, Liverpool leading Manchester City by 3-1, 89 minutes now on the clock. They're going to talk about the Munster Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-final. For the O'Neills, had a comfortable win over Broadford today, 3-22 to 14 points. Going to hear now from their boss, Dave Cobert.
Yeah, I thought we were very strong in defence today. They had a few chances probably in the first half of goals, and we closed them out well with hooks and blocks. I thought we bottled up their attack pretty well. We'd be happy with that coming out here.
Another terrific performance by full forward today, Declan Dalton.
unbelievable. 113 today. I think it was 1-6 from play. Absolutely unbelievable from him today.
Yeah, he's in good form. You can't argue with those stats. It's fair shooting from play and from freeze, and he got good ball into him as well. And now you'd be very happy with that. And he was very effective today for us.
The experience and the mix between the team is absolutely unbelievable to see. Like, you've got Podge Butler, fullback, who's been involved years throughout with the club, and you've got new blood like Jarrod Mellerick and Declan Dalton, who were involved in under-21 success last year. It's a great mix to have in the squad.
Yeah, and like, that was actually Podge's first start all year for us today in the Munster semi-final. So like, Podge has loads of it done, forwards and backs, but like, he's been very sharp all year when he's come into it. And like, Dickie and Jarrod are playing really, really well for us tomorrow, along with all the rest of them. They're all sharp out at the moment, so we just need to keep this going as long as we can.
And the bench today especially was impressive. I think he made five changes, and each one was played very well when they came on. You got Killian Broderick, who started at the start of the year. You've got then someone like Jason Hanker, another young player who's still involved with the 21s. They all had their own and they came on, and it's brilliant to have such a deep panel.
No, like, we've 38 players, and like, the strength of it and the standard in that squad is remarkable. Like, I've said it before, we've never had anything like this before. We have five subs coming in today, and you could bring on another five, and that's not exaggerating. You actually could, and they'd strengthen the finishing. So we're very happy with our squad and how we ended that today. We finished it strong, actually. We didn't pull up or defend or anything. They kept going for it and finished it off with scores.
And before I leave you all, like, the way you've played the under-21s side into the senior side or permanent treated side it's seamless almost, and that is really a credit now to the team.
And lots of those 21s, this is nearly their fifth year probably starting for the first team. Like, they were thrown in the deep end before that new rule came in about under 17s, only been allowed to play at adult level. So like, most of those fellas, this is their fifth season with the first team. But look, they are playing really well for a young team. They are going very well, but we need to get on with it now for the Munster final and get ready and repeat that and better it if we can.
That's Dave Colbert there speaking to Kieran Murphy after their win over Broadford today. 3:22 to 14 points was how it finished. And now face Ballysaggart in the Munster Intermediate Hurling Championship final on the 24th. No venue yet confirmed for that one. Alright, going to hear more from Father Niels, and we're going to hear from Podge Butler.
That's absolutely massive. Like, to be fair to the young lads there, they're an absolute breath of fresh air. Like, they drive it on every time, like training sessions. You know, it's a lot tougher than even marking those lads in training. Like, if you think about packing up half the time trying to chase them around the place. But listen, like, they won all the way up through the years, like, so, and a couple of the older lads now, like myself and Conway, like, you know, so as you said there now, it's a great blend of a huge experience.
It's great for these young players to have players such as you and Conway to learn off. And like, when you're coming up from the under 21 level or the minor level, that is really crucial to the development when you're playing adult hurling.
Well, it is, like, and to be fair to these lads, like, they won a Premier County for a small club like ourselves, which is an absolutely massive achievement, like, beating a lot of senior teams along the way. Like, so again, these boys don't need to be taught much. They know the story, like, and they just drive it on every training session and every match. You can see they're not again today, like.
And depth of the panel especially as well. It was five changes you made today, and each one of them came on, did their part, put in a great shift. Like, Killian Broderick, this was your first start of the championship season. Like, that depth, it's unbelievable to have for such a small area like Ballincollig and Easebridge.
Again, like, we owe it all to the younger teams, the younger lads coming up through the ranks. And again, like, you know, it's frustrating at times sitting on the bench, but you know, the bigger picture is Father Neil's winning in the end. And you know, we're using five subs every game. A lot of those lads coming on have county medals already, like, so you know, we're in a great position, and long may it last, hopefully.
Thank you very much, Podge, and good luck in the Munster final.
Thank you very much.
That's Podge Butler there of Father Neil speaking after their win over Broadford today, 3:22 to 14 points, and Ballysaggart now in the final in 2 weeks' time. It's nearly over at Anfield. Liverpool still 3-1 up on Manchester City. They will go 8 points clear with that result ahead of Leicester and Chelsea, with Manchester City in fourth place on 25 points, 9 points behind the Reds. Going to turn our attention now to the Junior A Football Championship final. Kilshannock defeating St James's 22 points to 11 today. John O'Shea there for us. He spoke to Kilshannock's Killian O'Hanlon.
Unbelievable. Long time waiting, and it's just unbelievable feeling. And the crowd here as well, like, it's just unbelievable to see how much it means to them as well. Like.
Yeah, you can even see just there's a real, like, just standing on the pitch here in Pocky Ring, there's a real buzz around the place at the moment, isn't there?
Massive. I think they said it was the highest tins of the county final, and it was unreal. The whole fucking parish was out here today, it was unreal.
Yeah, and it must be special. I think it was the first ones, I think the first time since 1996.
Yeah, first time we've been in the final since 96, so unbelievable. Been a long way.
Yeah, and this whole, I suppose, and this, the game as well, so, what was your thoughts and how you played today?
We knew the threat. St. James were going to bring this on last week. They're a tough team, very well balanced team, and we had to work hard for it. We kind of, the scoreline probably doesn't reflect the game, really. We kind of pulled away there in the last 5-10 minutes. Just an unbelievable effort from the lads as well.
Yeah, and then I saw there'll be plenty of celebrations on the charity drinks.
I'd say there'll be celebrations for 2 days, but I think we're in Munster now next week, so look, we'll try and push on, and hopefully the year isn't done yet.
Yeah, I saw saying this with the Munster, it's going to be going to that game at a real high note.
Yeah,
plenty of buds, you know.
Yeah, I think that's on Saturday, and it's a home fixture as well, like, which makes it even more special. So look, who knows, after this we've got the main one now, everything else is a bonus, really.
So I just finally, I suppose, how much does this winning this for Kilchenny, how much does this mean to you?
Oh, unbelievable. Probably the best day of my life, really, to be honest. It was just such a proud moment to captain the team as well, like all the family and friends around the place. It's unbelievable.
That's Kilshannock skipper Killian O'Hanlon there speaking after their win over St. James's today, and they're now facing the Gael of Kerry in the Munster quarter-final next Saturday afternoon. All over at Anfield, Liverpool have beaten Manchester City by 3-1. Going to get you an update on that one in just a bit. First, we're going to hear from Kilshannock goalkeeper Colmody.
She looked as mighty. As you just said there, look, we never put a target on anything this year. We just go up to win every game. We're looking off, we have a great bunch of lads. They put the head down, they drive on, whatever the team we're playing, whatever the competition. Look, it's great to stand there with the parish and everyone around celebrating. They don't come round that often for us. We waited, I think, to 23 years to have a night like this. Is brilliant.
Yeah, and you were saying they're forward to one game to come. That the turn, you're going to see from the outset, right, from the one goal, you were determined.
One step at a time. Like, our under 21s are still involved. It's the middle of November. We're after a great year. Like, we won Junior A, we won Junior B. We're after a fantastic year in the club. Training's been brilliant. Everyone's bought into what we're doing. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, and I think the 1996, 23 years, we're saying the last time you won this championship.
96, 20, 23 years of waiting for another day like this. I suppose, like, I'm involved, this is my 19th year, but there's a long time waiting for anything like this. There's numerous years we struggled to come out of North Cork, but to be up here in Park Ring celebrating the county champion is just brilliant.
You know, and it's what you would see here in the scenes all here. I mean, it's a lot to Kilchenny to win it.
It's brilliant. We get fantastic support any match we play. They travel all over the country following us, and it's great for them to have a night like tonight just to celebrate, and everyone comes together. The parish is on a high glow. It's just fantastic. There's flags, there's bunting, the colours are brilliant. Everyone's just bought into it, the whole parish, the whole team. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, there'll be plenty days of celebrating, but even next weekend after that, you're just going to have a Munster championship.
We'll celebrate tonight. We might have a few tomorrow. Look back to training probably Tuesday. I don't know who we're playing in Munster, whether it's Clare, Tipperary, Kerry, whoever we're playing. I'm sure the lads have thought about it. We'll put the heads down, we'll drive on during the week. However we play next weekend, look, we just go one step at a time again.
Yeah, congratulations to Kilshannock Junior A champions after that win over St. James's today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to hear from Paddy Murray as he commits to the Cork Camogie team for his 9th year. And we're going to hear from Colin O'Brien as the Ireland under-17s prepare for their Euro qualifiers at Turners Cross.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Full-time report from Anfield, Shane Pennington.
Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1, and Jurgen Klopp's men make a massive statement in the title race as they move 8 points clear at the top after seeing off the current champions. Fabinho fired them ahead from 25 yards, which a VAR check confirmed, before Mo Salah made it 2. It was 3-0 when Mane headed in Henderson's cross, and Bernardo Silva then pulled one back for City, but that only proved to be a consolation for the visitors as their Anfield hoodoo continued. Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1.
And a huge step in the title race there. Is it going to be Liverpool's year? 8 points clear of second place Leicester and Chelsea, who are on 26 points. Manchester City back on 25. A massive, massive result today. All right, so the Ireland under-17s, tricky week for them as they have 3 games in the European qualifiers. They take on Andorra, Montenegro and Israel, all in Turner's Cross. Kieran's been speaking with manager Colin O'Brien.
Yeah, I suppose we've a very busy schedule now for the next 11 days. It's the European qualifiers for the under-17 age group. So we kick off now Tuesday night against Andorra, Montenegro on Friday, and then Israel in our final game. So we're all looking forward to them.
You mentioned that on Tuesday. They're all taking place in Turner's Cross, I suppose. Look, the FAI do move the games around the different venues at times, but it's nice to have them down at the Cross, especially, I suppose, having them locally to yourself and all that as well.
Yeah, look, it's great. Like, you know, we're only saying to the players the last couple of days, you know, they're in a very privileged position. It's very unique that we actually host these qualifiers as well. Yes, we held the European Championships in May, but in all my time working with teams for qualifying competitions the last number of years, we've always had to play away. So delighted the FAI got on the front foot, got us to host it, because going to places like Montenegro and Israel can be very tricky. So Cork, fantastic venue, two good venues of Collins Park and Turner's Cross. Obviously we'll be in Turner's Cross in three games, and Collins Park will host the other games as well. But right now for ourselves, it's just getting ready for Tuesday for Andorra.
I imagine you'd be hoping there, a crowd would turn out for that. It does help sometimes to have a good home support.
100%, and it's something we really saw in May with last year's group. The crowd that came to the European Championship finals in Tallinn, Waterford, you know, there was over 5,000 at each game, and really connected with the team. The team really appreciated it, and it does bring the players' game on another level. So I'm really hoping the Cork public come out and support it. We've got some very good players again in the group. This is the start of our journey. The last number of years, the public have been seeing teams playing in finals, but this qualifying phase has a huge bearing on our competitive season.
How hard is it to manage the team, to get them right for three games in 10 or 11 days or 7 even?
Yeah, well, that's seven always days. The challenge with the, yeah, we've the three games in 7 days, and yeah, we've been in since yesterday ourselves. So you kind of, you'd be on site for nearly 11 days. That's always the challenge for international football. Look, we're very experienced staff, very educated people around the players, and that's a big help to myself as well, because you just can't do it all on your own. So, you know, we challenge each other, staff, the players tap into that, and our job is to make sure everything is done, that they're prepared to play in three games over 7 days. And look, it's something we're used to now, and it's something the players are very excited about themselves.
Yeah, you announced your squad on Thursday. There's a space in there, a debut call-up, I think, for City midfielder Aaron Crozell.
Yeah, no, Oran has actually been, you know, he's played at under 16 and 15 level. So he's been in the system the last number of years himself. Had a good season with Cork City under 17s this year. And along with Oran, there's actually 14 players that are playing in the domestic league at the moment. So it's a good opportunity, said, for people to come out and connect. We have a wide range of clubs involved as well. There's players from different areas of the country. But look, they're all here on merit, and they're all going to be competing now to try and get in the starting 11 for Tuesday.
I'm sure you have a fairly strong scouting network and all that, Colin, but and you mentioned 14 from the League of Ireland there. How do you get around to see the likes of Anselmo there in Wolfsburg? Like, that's surely a bit tricky to get around. Like, there's some UK based players as well.
Yeah, well, look, we'd have an extensive network of people around the country, and look, it's part of my own job as well. You'd be covering the length of breadth of the country with games, and instead have other people at matches as well. But also part of my role is you have to see the players that are outside of the country as well. And again, we'd have people in the UK as well. You know, again, our scout network is quite strong there, and it's just a matter of getting that information and then following up on it. But players have to be good enough to come into the international setup. It's not just the case in qualifying for Ireland.
Naturally, yeah. Yeah. And look, before I leave you go, Colin, that match Tuesday against Andorra at 7:30 at the Cross, obviously you've your homework done on Andorra.
Yeah, look, I suppose the three countries that are coming in, they'll be different challenges, and they have different cultures and different styles. We played Andorra a number of years ago ourselves. Okay, they might be classed as a smaller country, but they have a very Spanish type of influence to their style of play. But, you know, no matter who we're playing, we'll always prepare ourselves for the situations we might come up against, and very focused on what we need to do. And hopefully we'll get off to a positive start. That's what everything has been focused on right now.
Yeah, well, look, Conor Bryan, Republic of Ireland under 17s. Thanks very much for joining us on the bench.
No problem, Ciarán. All the best.
Yeah, very best luck indeed to Colin O'Brien and the Republic of Ireland under-17s as they prepare for the Euro qualifiers. Really looking forward to those games this week, and we'll be at those games starting with Andorra on Tuesday night. So very best luck indeed to the boys in green. Right, we're going to talk Camogie, and it was confirmed last week that Paulie Murray would be remaining as manager of the Cork senior Camogie's team for a 9th consecutive season. Ciarán's been speaking with Paulie about his plans for next year.
I'd like to be joined on the line by Paddy Murray, the Cork senior Camogie boss. Paddy, welcome to the bench.
Thank you.
Paddy, during the week you were confirmed staying on for another year. I think it's your 9th year at this stage. What keeps bringing you back?
I suppose it's hard to leave a goal. You know, I'm dealing with a fairly determined bunch of players. So, you know, there's a good culture there. You know, people that want to do the best all the time. You know, you come to training and, you know, they're waiting there to be trained. And I suppose that's what, you know, I suppose that's what keeps me coming back.
Like, this year, I suppose it was disappointing losing a semi-final. But there's a lot of young players there, I imagine, coming through from minors and that as well. There's been some good players last year and this year.
Yeah, and even the year before as well. I think probably true. With the last 3 to 4 years, we seem to have got our act together underage. And, you know, there is players there. There's a big, big jump up from being minor to senior. I don't think people realise that. I normally say it will take 3 years at least. So, you know, you look at this year's minors, to get someone to play senior next year from that group would be a massive achievement for the coaches. So, you know, probably looking at last year's crew, really, I think we had 4 last year. So, you know, I know Laura Hayes made it through, and you'd be hoping that maybe 1 or 2 of those would come through again, you know.
Is this, or 2020, going to be a bit of, we'll say, maybe rebuilding? Is there going to be much retirements, or what do you think? Because there's lots of talk about Jim O'Connor, I suppose, your sister Aoife, but what is there any official word?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that I suppose the so-called experts would claim that this is a team in decline. You know, 1 All-Star, 4 nominations, so that would indicate we're in a bit of trouble, you know. Yeah. So I'm obviously, if that's what I would have thought, I wouldn't be coming back, to be honest. I think that's certainly... There is more in this team.
Yeah.
Granted, as a group, we will have to work a lot better than what we did last year. I think if we look back at the year, there was errors made and lots of them. So I think everyone, you know, if players are thinking coming back and putting in what they did last year, well, then that's not going to happen, you know. Retirements, I haven't heard anything to date, and people have been notified. So, you know, that would indicate that people are not retiring at the moment anyway. So, you know, I look, Aoife and Jim, look, it's up to themselves, really. Don't think they should, but, you know, and I would be hoping that they wouldn't, but, you know, I think Jim had a fantastic year, to be honest, one of her better years, and played very well in the semi-finals. So, you know, I think there's plenty left in her, you know.
You mentioned Gemma there having a pretty good year. No All-Star. Lots of talk about the All-Stars this year. Obviously extremely disappointing when only there was one to come out of that, and Amy O'Connor, and then the nominations with other teams who didn't do as well get more nominations.
Yeah, look, I have my own feelings on it, to be honest, but I think I keep them to myself. You know, I would hope that to drive us on as a group, to be honest. You know, I always say people want to put us down, and long may that continue, really, because, look, if people want to put us down, it means we must be doing something right.
The club scene, healthy enough place, especially when you see SARS having gone so long without a title, 30 years, I think it was, this year, and disappointing in Munster, I suppose, but coming out and winning the county title, that was obviously a big deal for them, but it's good to see teams coming through like that, and the players.
Well, the club scene, to be fair, has been very good over the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets the credit it deserves. I think, to be fair to the board, they run it very well. They run it off. You know, it's run well. my feeling is that the support has grown very strongly over the last couple of years, and most of the matches that I've been at, there's actually bigger crowds going to those matches than some of the senior hurling matches that I've been to this year, funny enough, you know.
Of course,
and have been very exciting as well, you know. Look, there was a number of them. I was outside in CIT to watch Killa and Enniscarra, and it was a terrific game, full of excitement. So lots of good quality games there, you know.
Yeah, I suppose obviously it was a disappointing year when you look at the going out at the semi-final stage. Or was it?
Oh God, yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, I suppose nothing less than an All-Ireland to us is disappointing. So we set our sights high, and you know, anything less than that is disappointing. I suppose looking at it, as bad and all as we were, we had chances to win it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think, look, if I look back in the year, there was probably little things along the way that, you know, little signals, possibly, you know, probably we mightn't have been as committed as what we should be. You know, things have moved on, and instead of we standing still, we need to move on as well, you know. So I think the key for next year is we've got to work harder than what we did last year. Our commitment has to be better, you know. So
I think you can appreciate, at the time obviously you don't appreciate, you know, these mistakes or losing a semi-final or that, but I think you can, in hindsight, you can appreciate that and obviously build on that. It's a good thing to have when you're starting off the following year.
Oh yeah, well it is. Look, we've this year analysed it pretty well, and you know, we would be looking for massive improvement from the players this year. You know, that we're back this Sunday training, so we're starting earlier, and you know, we need everyone back and back very quickly, you know.
I was going to ask that lastly before I leave you go, just you're fairly meticulous in your planning and tactics and all that. You're already, I was going to say, I imagine you've started for this year, so back Sunday already.
Yeah, look, we are. We're probably having our largest probably training panel. Mm-hmm. But to me, it is important that a lot of the new girls, I think there's 7 or 8 new girls coming into the side just to freshen things up. So I think that's important. They've got to climatise fairly quickly there, you know. And we have new coaches as well. We have Liam Cronin from Limerick, who has been involved in the player senior hurling set up for the last 3 years. So I think that's a big coup, and I think it's a big statement to Cork Camogie and probably in Camogie in general, to see a person of that calibre wanting to experience training a Camogie team.
You've a bit of a shake up there, I suppose, in the back room. How important was that to?
I think of course it has to be important, because we need to freshen things up. Look, the players don't want to be listening to me. My brother Kevin was there for 3 years. I don't think they want to be listening to him for another year. So he was coming in. We have a new SSC coach as well in Owen Galvin from Ballincollig. I suppose I'm very happy that Martin O'Brien stays on, because, you know, I thought it was an area that probably we need to improve in, and that with the number of girls we have, we certainly need a second SSC, and Martin is a fierce man to drive the team on. I think it's important that he stayed on, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, Paddy, I'll leave you at it. Obviously planning already, so you've a bit of planning for training to be doing as well. But thanks very much for joining us on the bench.
Thanks, William.
Yeah, great to have Paddy Murray on the show, and it's great that he's staying on as Cork Camogie boss. We wish them all the very, very best luck for 2020. Going to look back at Cage Warriors last night. It was a fantastic, fantastic evening at Cage Warriors in Neptune Stadium as they returned for the first time after an 8-year absence. It was a great card, some great Cork fighters in action last night as well. Couple of whom made massive, massive impressions. Just run down the the results from last night. Rhys McKee looking like a superstar as he defeated Hakan Foss by a TKO in the first round, just after a minute. Joe McColgan defeated Robbie Scott, looked very, very good as well. Got him in a beautiful Darce choke in the first round. Ian Garry is a superstar already by the looks of it. He had half a Dublin in Neptune Stadium for him last night. Great performance from him as he beat Matthias Figlak by a rear naked choke in the first round. The floof nearly went off the place last night. He was absolutely brilliant. And Cork's John Mitchell defeating Eric Nolan by unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27 and 29-28. We had John in studio with us last week. He was really, really impressive last night. Fought really, really well. Beautiful striking for all three rounds and got a fully deserved unanimous decision win. I spoke to him after his win last night over Eric Nolan.
All right, with John Mitchell after that very, very impressive pro debut. How are you feeling after that?
Yeah, I feel great. It was mad. It was good fun though.
Yeah. What was your game plan going in?
Just go out, be sharp, try counter him if he's coming in and try get that lead leg, like, and maybe hit him with a knee coming in as well. And so that was pretty much it.
You had a bit of a reach advantage over him. You used that to your advantage, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, I had a good reach advantage on him and kind of worked out there. So.
Did he dropped in the first round. I mean, like, that was just kind of a short kind of a ride, I think. Were you worried at that point?
No, I think he kind of, you know, when he hit me, I kind of bounced back up off the ground. I think he kind of just caught me early. You know, kind of caught me cold a bit. So, but it was good. I think it added to the fun of it. So,
He was doing his best to kind of gouge into a war as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know, but I was just going to pick him apart and try to catch him and stuff, you know. So it was good. There was a lot of showmanship in it. Like, it was good fun.
As debuts go, as professional debuts, though, it doesn't get much better, does it?
Nah, like in Cork in a sold-out arena on the main card of Cage Warriors, I mean, like, that's amazing. I'm delighted.
And you had such a huge following there as well. I mean, you jumped in from afterwards.
Huge, yeah. I felt like the whole arena was there for me, you know. It was unreal. It was unreal.
And so what's next now?
Just
enjoy it, basically.
Yeah, like, just tonight, take it off, don't worry about it, and then get back into it as soon as I can and just try to get on the Belfast card. Yeah. You know?
Is pressure off now, first professional win? I mean, like, you don't have to worry about getting that monkey off your back.
The pressure's on now, man. Yeah. Now we got to keep going and fight someone better now and, you know, see where it goes.
Yeah, and see where it goes indeed. I mean, like, Cage Warriors has sent 93 guys to the UFC. Do you want to be on that list?
Most definitely, yeah. That's why we're all here, isn't it? Yes, so definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's John Mitchell there, really charismatic guy, and great moment last night as Eric Nolan threw a wild kick that missed John by a good bit, and John just looked left and right to see where Eric was now aiming for. Really, really a funny moment in the fight, but a really, really impressive performance. So I asked Cage Warriors boss Cortman himself, Graham Boylan, about John's performance.
Yeah.
Graham, just a word about John Mitchell, Cork, by making his debut tonight. Not a bad way to make your professional debut.
Yeah, super, super debut from John. He made I think he outclassed Eric on the feet. You know, he chopped away at that lead leg. He hit some really nice jabs and just kept moving, whether that was a game plan or whether that's his game. We'll find out in time, but super performance and a good debut win for him on a big platform like that. You know, a lot of guys making their debut on a stage this side, and he was on the main card. You know, they can get an adrenaline dump. You know, it can hit them quite quick, but he dealt with it well.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. Congratulations to John Mitchell on his first win as a professional. Pally Ham was the last fight on the amateur card, and he defeated Shane Geraghty via KO, a spectacular KO as well. I spoke to the SPG Cork fighter afterwards.
He started off very, very strong. I knew he was going to be strong. I knew I'd be faster. I knew I'd be more technical. It took me a while to kind of get it. He hit me with a few shots. I started making angles, and I started kind of finding my shots then as well. I knew if I hit him in the body early, I'd just suck his gas tank. So I straight away started throwing jabs to the body, straight hands to the body from far, which is like not normally done a lot, you know, in MMA. It's kind of dodgy ducking your head like that. But I kind of circled and then I throw a jab to the body, and they just kind of just sucked it out of him. And then I just wore him down, kept hitting the head, hitting him in the body, mixing up my attacks, and then I saw he was kind of getting hurt, kept landing shots, he started moving back, I followed him and just finished the fight.
What was it like walking out Neptune Stadium here in front of this Cork crowd in a Cage Warriors car?
That was genuinely one of the best moments of my life. When I walking out, having all my friends and family there, it's surreal. Like, and then when I got the wins, jumping off on the cage, seeing everyone cheering, everyone who came out to support me, it's just brilliant. Like,
makes all that hard work, that fight camp work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. I mean, like you, Johnny Holland, his nutritionist, your weight was underweight yesterday. Yeah. It seemed to go very, very easily for you.
Yeah, it was simple. It was the easiest I've ever done it. I used to find getting to... I fought featherweight. I have a title at featherweight, and I found that very, very hard to get down to before, but right now I'm actually lighter than what I was when I did my water cut. First 66, and I was fighting that whatever welterweight that was, or super lightweight, you know. So, with that nutritionist and strength conditioning, I'm 66 is not a bother to me, and I'm only going to be bigger and stronger at that division.
So what's next? I know Barry at Alpha Fighter Management, we keep me busy.
What's next? I'm fighting 2 weeks in England for a title on Contenders. I'll win that. They have a show coming up. I don't know if they announced it yet, but they have a deal with some American over in Florida. They're going over there, so when I win that title, I want to go over to Florida and fight there.
And so the next time Cage Warriors comes back to Cork, will you be a professional in that cage, or?
It depends. Like, when are they coming back? If they come back, I'm not going to rush it.
Yeah.
I like when they come back, I'll let them know when I'm ready. When I want that contract, they can give it to me then, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah, great to talk to Pally Han. Congratulations indeed to his own. And great to have Cage Warriors back last night. Graham Boylan said they'd be coming back to Cork next year. The details weren't confirmed, but he said it'd be confirmed early in the week. All right, just to wrap up, Larney and Bishoptown GAA Club have joined forces for a unique venture in GAA in Cork. The clubs have employed a full-time coach to go into schools and help both clubs. Kieran's been speaking with Humphrey Hogan, Games Promotions Officer in Blarney GAA, about the initiative between the two clubs.
Yeah, look, Blarney Bishoptown clubs, we've joined together, and I suppose, look, we have, it's really the initiative is to promote Gaelic games in locally within 8 schools, which are both between Blarney and Bishoptown, you know. It's a unique initiative. It's funded completely by the two clubs, and it is the first of its kind in Cork. So the club's appointed Faulkner O'Connor as the games promotion officer, and so we're really excited going forward as to how it's going to work out over the next 12 months, you know. So he's employed on a 12-month contract.
Okay, there's a lot of information in there. Firstly, why Blarney and Bishoptown?
Look, I suppose we're both of a similar mind. Both of us feel that the initiative going forward would be to promote Gaelic games in the two schools, or with the two clubs, and in amongst the 8 schools that are locally. It's to give consistent coaching is another big thing for us, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose what will... we know he'll be coaching, but what will Faulkner be doing between the two clubs? Like,
look, his role initially was, I suppose, it's a kind of a he's going in fundamental movement is a big thing, and in the schools we're also looking at probably his initially would be going in with fundamental movement such as agility, balance, coordination, and these key skills are integral to physical development of children these days, you know.
Like, how did the whole idea actually come about, Humphrey? Because I imagine there's been a lot of planning. It's not something that came about overnight.
Yeah, it was. I suppose, look, we have two lads in our club, would be Paul O'Leary and Martin Lynch, who are driving this, you know. Paul is the coaching officer for the club. He's the current intermediate manager. We have the ex-chairman as well, which is Martin Lynch. And again, backed 100% by the executive in our club, you know. And I suppose similar on the other side, we have... Brian Cuthbert from Bishoptown and Martin Lynch sat down and kind of said, we've voted the same plan, and John Crowley came aboard then as well, you know, so it's...
Both clubs have pretty good underage setups. There's a lot of talent in among both clubs, as can be seen on Cork squads as well, and just how both clubs have been getting to certain stages in the underage competitions, I guess.
Well, look, I suppose that would be... GAA has to be equal to fun, okay? That's really important for the club, in our club anyway. They seem to have a similar opinion, you know. You could argue about player retention, okay, is a big thing for us at the moment. Coaching standards, like the ideas for ours really is that Faulkner would come in and give coaching courses throughout to all of our coaches in both clubs, you know. That's probably not something else now that'll probably come out of this, one of the benefits of it. He's not solely going to be probably in the schools, even though that's the initiative at the start. Mm-hmm. He'll be coming in, I suppose he'll be guiding the coaches as well in the clubs, you know. But the big thing for us actually, Kieran, was that he would go into the schools and he would consistently do the times that we were told the schools that we would be there, you know. That's really important for us. Like,
okay. You mentioned it's a 12-month contract for Faulkner. I suppose he has his own aims and what he wants to achieve, but what's the overall plan for? I know it's a longer plan than 12 months, but initially it's 12 months.
When you've got young kids involved, it's inclusion, fun. It has to be all of those things. And Faulkner's going in to kind of have a link between the schools and the clubs. And that they'll make friends and they'll come over and they'll join in much easier. They can relate to the club when we're there, and this would be both as well for Bishopstown. It's more of that really, you know, than actually the plan initially was that we would have him in on a 12-month contract, but we're hoping that it will continue for over the next 10 years, you know, maybe longer. Like, we're hoping that other clubs will be able to take the initiative and take it forward in Cork.
Yeah,
that's a really exciting initiative there, as you were hearing, between Blarney and Bishopstown GAA. They've joined together to fund a games promotion officer who will promote Gaelic games in the schools. Really, really exciting stuff, and a really, really forward thinking from both clubs. Right, we are out of time. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way on the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Our podcast will be live if you missed any of the action on today's show, if you missed any of the reaction from Nemo, if you missed it from Kilshannig, if you missed it from Father O'Neill's, if you missed it from Orlabby. It'll be on our podcast, which will be on Red Extra very shortly, and redextra.ie, I should say, and it'll be wherever you get your podcast from. It'll be up there very, very shortly indeed. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench. We're back next Saturday from 6. Alan Donovan is up next with Green on Red, bringing you 3 hours of the very best Irish music between now and 10 p.m. We'll be back next Saturday at 6 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, folks.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.